Stiff and sore and stretching, and it's another wild weekend of weather. You know, I know it's blowing 10 to 20 miles an hour out there, but that doesn't mean you don't have places to go fishing. I'm going to be loading up a map I put up. The winds are blowing out of the northeast. Plenty of places to hide on a northeast wind. So this is Fishing Frank in the chair, and we got Robert in the chair across from me. We're going to be doing the area fishing report. Place by place, following the place by place fishing report all along. So while you're listening to this, you can look at that, or you know, have to look at it. You can just listen to this, however you want to do it. Now, let's see if I can get me to quit playing guitar. Put the guitar down, Frank. There we go. All right. Let's see. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
Even like the studio audience, I think I'm okay. You know, that was kind of a half-hearted round of applause there.
Yeah, it was almost like a golf clap.
Yeah, it was like... Didn't even build a slow clap.
Right.
So. But anyway, with lots of good things to say about all that. I don't know what the heck... All right. We're starting off from the Peace River here today.
What's the river doing now?
I honestly don't know, but I can check quick.
I mean, with as clear as it's getting, it seems like it's got to be slowing down quite a bit.
Yeah, fishingfranks.com, weather and tides, click the Peace River button, and waiting for USGS page to come up, page is up. We have, oh, wow, it's down to just a little over 3 foot.
Okay.
We've got 546 cubic feet per second. Average is, I guess, 381.
So we're still a little above normal, but not by much.
Oh, 1969, they had 2,350 cubic feet a second.
Oh, wow.
That was a lot of rain for that time.
That's a whole lot of rain.
But for right now, the good news is I'd rather be a little over on the river flow. We need to be over on the river flow because it's keeping the red tide out of here.
Mm-hmm.
If that river stops flowing like it did last year, at any moment we could get a massive red tide to appear. And as long as that river's flowing, even as much as it is now, which is very, very little, I mean, that's, you know.
It's still enough.
Still enough to give us our shield of invincibility with the, you know, the whole red tide thing. And I haven't checked my email today to see if we have any red tide reports coming in from FWC, but... Good God. I should have known better than it. I hadn't checked it for 2 days, so there's like 130 emails. I can just do a search here quick for FWC, and I don't see any updates for the red tide, so that's a good thing. Yeah, I have no idea what that was. I think that was telling me something was done. But anyway, no red tide report, so all good with that. Happy, happy, happy. As we speak right now,
right,
while we're talking, millions of tiny little redfish are swimming back to the mangroves and up into the creeks. There's millions upon millions of them swimming up. They're just starting to hatch out of the eggs. They're swimming all over the place. And if we can keep that red tide off for another couple weeks, we will actually, next year, we'll have a ton of small redfish, and the year after we're gonna have a lot of slot fish, because it takes 1 to 2 years for them to get slot.
Yeah,
so awesome news. I mean, amazing. Yay. Okay, no crowd cheering for that. You would have thought the crowd would have cheered for that. Lots of millions of little redfish swimming in the mangroves.
Lots of big smiles.
Yeah, there they are. It takes a little while. Our studio audience is a little quiet today. Okay,
delayed reaction.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to ramp them up a little. All right, I'm going up under the Peace River with a 3 foot water level in Arcadia. That means very little fresh water coming down, just enough to stave off the red tides. But I am not at the Sansuchi Trestle, which I don't. Do I even have a page for that up here? Yeah, I do. I have a page for Sansuchi. Okay. There's snook and redfish up there.
And a few juvenile tarpon, too, that I've been hearing about. Guys aren't hooking them, but people are talking about seeing them, trying to ask how to try to catch them. So that's usually a good indication that there's more than just a couple rolling around. Because I've had several people. one snowbird who just came back down. He lives right there along that canal somewhere. He said he sees him out there just lollygagging around and wants to try to catch one, and he's all flustered. So, got him a terrorizing a small storm to give it a shot.
Well, the problem with the San Susi Trestle right now is we're not seeing legal-sized fish coming off there. The redfish and snook, they're both there in pretty good numbers, as a matter of fact, but not in keeper sizes. You're going to be catching and releasing short fish.
Yeah.
I was fishing on the end with freshwater shiners, catching small snook. There was a boat up from us, and they were fishing with shrimp, and they were catching redfish and snook, but not, you know, giddy up, go, lots of numbers, but there was fish there. But they were fishing shrimp with a sinker on the bottom. I had shiners under a bobber, and both of us were catching fish. I didn't catch any redfish, they did. But I don't know what that tarpon's going to be up there. I got to run back up there pretty soon. I got to get some more pictures up through there.
Yeah, it's a really pretty area to see, you know, and go check out and learn. But over the next several weeks, when it starts to actually cool down, the water temperature came back up 4.5 degrees since last week.
Really?
Yeah, it's back up to like 74 in Naples or something like that, and 73 or something in St. Pete.
Gulf
Forget
water
what it was.
I just did fishandfranks.com, weather and tides, Gulf water temps. Scrolling down here to take a look. I mean, we usually get to this when we go offshore. St. Pete is 74.8, and Pensacola 67.8. That's good. Naples 76.5. That's a little high.
Yeah. Last week it was like 70, 71. So we've come up 4 or 5 degrees, which is good and bad. You know, it keeps that lower end of the harbor busy, but the upper end of the harbor keeps those fish still a little slow for getting up here. That's why you're seeing so many of those short snook and redfish so far. You know, at least in isolated spots, there's some bigger ones, but those are far and few between.
Well, according to this, it's 74.8. We're almost 5 degrees over normal. Normal is supposed to be 70. And at Naples, 76.5, it's supposed to be 73. So we're running 3 to 5 degrees warmer than we should, which isn't horrific.
No,
you know?
Not at all.
It still keeps us in a good range.
Yeah, it still keeps us real good. Just that couple degrees can be a big difference to those fish wanting to move those extra 10 miles north or south.
But what it is in the harbor, it's probably about 70, let's say 74 degrees in the harbor, 73. Mm-hmm. Or in the Gulf of Mexico. Mm-hmm. So add 4 to that. So it's, right, you know, 77 to 80 degrees in the harbor, depending on what time of day. Which is still in the good thing.
Yeah.
I mean, below 80 is where we want to be, between 70 and 80 degrees. That's when the best fishing is. So anyway, but what's going on around Darst up there at I-75?
The big thing I've been hearing about has been some black drum, some small redfish, and a few small snook. There was a couple of tarpon the one day that the guy said, but when he went back out the next day, he didn't see any rolling around. So
All right.
I think they're kind of hit or miss still.
Down to the 41 bridge, anything going on down there?
Honestly, it's been a little quiet this week. I haven't heard much at all there. The guy said supposedly the park is back open by there at Power Pole, what we call Power Pole Park, but I haven't been by it to verify it, because he used to like to sneak over and fish off that finger dock all the time, so
right.
I don't know if it's technically open or not.
All right, and here I've been going through. The Peace River was sponsored by PC Solutions of Arcadia. I'm sorry about that, folks. I forgot all about doing the ads. Great folks. Just give them a call. If you have computer problems, they will help you out. They're reasonable on their prices, and they do good work. We had them work on one of our laptops, and it was very good. I was very pleased. You don't really know what somebody's like until you use them. I'm hoping not to deal with this next ad for a while. It's Ponger K's Grady Funeral and Cremation Services, and they have all the stuff you need for when that time comes, as it does come to all of us. I'm just hoping to stave that off for a while, where I have to call the funeral home for anything.
Yeah.
I'm, you know, nice folks, but sorry, don't want to talk to you right now, but, you know, if you do have to, you know, might as well deal with some nice people. The 41 bridge, brought to you by my buddy Jerry out at SOS Marine. He went over and beyond. You know, he's working on my one skiff.
Yeah.
And I asked him, you know, if he could get the trailer fixed and fix the trim and tilt on the boat.
Right.
Well, he actually scraped the barnacles and stuff while it was there, too.
Really?
Because I said, well, I'm going to put it back in the water and soften the barnacles all up, and because that boat lives in the water.
Right.
And he got it clean for me. So I was, like, really happy with Jerry.
Nice.
I was really excited about that. I thought of laying on that dang boat rip, scraping barnacles for 2 or 3 hours. Just was not thrilling at all.
No.
So... No. I was really happy with Jerry out there. When you call the 629-3600, you will talk to Amy. And you like Amy. She's very cool. So
yeah.
I've been dealing with them pretty much as long as I've been in business here. And he's a very good friend. They do nice work. Lashley Pier is where we're coming up to now. And another exceptionally good friend of mine, Don Riggs from Don Riggs Concrete. It's... like you hear me say about many things, if you're going to have something done, I call Don and say, what do I do?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because.
What do I do? How do you do it?
Yeah. What are we going to do here, Don? Oh, my God. What? Oh, geez. What?
But he's going to do it right.
I don't even want to talk about it. It's such a, you know, it's wonderful. And the good thing is I will not have any more seawall problems for 20 years, you know.
That's a good thing.
It might be a little excessive, but when don't I go excessive?
I was going to say, really?
Yeah, for me, okay, excessive is like...
That's
you
just
know,
normal for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that's just normal, but this is like major excessive, so...
Everyone else is content with a shed, you build a pyramid.
Yeah, pyramid on top of a, you know, underground bunker. So
well, the pyramids had those.
Yes. So anyway, if you need concrete work done, I'm not kidding you. Get a hold of Don. Great guys, all local guys. It's really nice. You can go up, talk to, you know, understand, talk to everybody who works there, and
yeah. It,
great people. And if you get Buddy's been with him as long as I can. I mean, longer than I've known Don. He's been there for years. I don't know. He's got 30, 40 some years in with Don. I don't know how old he is. You know, he always looks younger than me, but I know he's older than me. You know, the black guy, Don, Buddy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's amazing. Just sharp as a tack. That's who you want working there. All right, Lashley Pier, what's going on?
I've heard of a couple small snook. I've heard of a couple legal-sized snook. And that is it, to be honest. It's been a little on the quiet side still. That warm water, and people have been taking advantage of this beautiful weather and been fishing other places for right now because it's just more consistent.
Yeah. All right. Take us down to Bayshore Pier, sponsored by our friends at Centennial Bank. And I can tell you, I've recently been inundated with bad checks. Not written out by us. People hacked into, you know, sending phony checks into my bank account. And it was like $4,000 to $6,000 gone.
Jesus.
And we had thousands of dollars missing and all this. I will tell you, paper checks are better than the electronic stuff because you can visibly see it's messed up.
Right.
And I was really kind of concerned because everything has always gone so well with us in Centennial Bank. And I'm missing thousands of dollars out of my account and all this. And we walked in and Katie said exactly what I hoped for. Don't worry, I'll take care of it.
Right.
And we've got new checks, new accounts, new everything. They helped us switch over our credit card machines to the new accounts. Everything we needed when everything went catastrophically wrong and there's thousands of dollars missing from your account, the one thing you want to hear from your bank is, I got this. We got it. Don't worry. You know, that's exactly what I wanted to hear, exactly what they did. Everything they could do, they possibly did.
They went over and beyond, honestly. I mean, I saw her pop in that one day on her lunch break to bring you some paperwork or something. I thought, Who does that? Are you kidding?
No. I mean...
You know, that's pretty impressive.
If you're not dealing with Centennial, you're just foolish.
Okay. Right.
You know, if you've got a good bank, yes, stay there. If you've got a good relationship and all that, we understand that because I have good relationships and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But if you're thinking about moving to Florida and you're listening to us up north... Yeah, this is the bomb. You always tell when things go disastrously wrong who you're dealing with.
Right.
When everything goes good, how do you know who you're dealing with?
Right.
Everything's going good. But when it all goes south, that's when you find out. Deal with Centennial. Bayshore Pier, what's going on?
Couple guys have hooked a couple big tarpon out there while they're looking for the shark and cobia that have been around, but mostly eluding everybody. Other than that, it's been a little on the quiet side. You know, they've been seeing some cobia. A couple guys hooked some last week, but they were shorts, so that tends to get one person or three persons excited.
Well, what I like about it is it's on the lee side of the wind. You're casting with the wind at your back. You're standing with the wind at your back.
Yep.
And it's close enough to shore you're not going to be blasted by the wind. So it's a good place to fish this weekend, you know, for as far as where the pier is, direction of wind and all that. Bayshore would be a good spot to try out. Port Charlotte Canal, sponsored by my buddy Ray at Ray Smith Excavating. He's a great friend, longtime association. He's done a lot of work around my house and for me and here at the store and everywhere else. If you need, whether a little bit of stuff done in your yard or you want to build a housing development, call Ray. It's done right the first time. Just, you know, and him and Don Riggs, they're always in the same projects. I mean, they've got massive things going on.
Right, and they work together quite well.
And it's amazing, though. They do these monstrous, massive projects, and yet they care enough about, you know, they got a crew that comes over to your house and does these projects for you.
Yeah, it's residential or commercial, they're willing to take it all on and do a fine job at it.
Yeah, but I mean, to me, it's just kind of funny because usually when companies get that big, they don't want to mess with the little homeowner stuff.
Right.
And that's where Don started, and that's where his heart is.
Yeah.
I mean, the big jobs are good, but the little jobs, the homeowners and stuff, that's where his heart is. And the same thing with Ray Smith. These guys are just awesome that way. So, anyway, Port Charlotte, what's going on in the canals?
The Port Charlotte canals have been starting to get a little bit more consistent. Guys are catching quite a few more small snook trolling through the canals. I've heard of a couple of redfish, but mostly short ones. The canal over there, Manchester and Ackerman, over going towards the locks, some guys have been getting some sand bream with a sheep's head as a bycatch. Still not cold enough for sheep's head yet anywhere personally, but hearing some mixed reports of them. And then also the mangrove snapper and the juvenile tarpon are starting to pick up pretty good in some of the miscellaneous canals. Not just the usual spring lake haunt. You know, they're kind of showing up at various places from what I'm hearing from a lot of different people. We're getting a lot of snowbirds back down, so they're all popping in and saying, okay, what's going on behind my house? This is what I'm seeing. So I'm getting mixed reports from everywhere rather than just the few.
Well, one of the
better
reports,
locals.
The better reports that I've had, a guy came in and bought 6 Storm Twitch sticks because he's actually doing charters for snook, and he's going into the canals and having the people cast the twitch sticks underneath the docks and reel them back in, under the docks and reel them back in, and they're catching enough snook, and he's getting keepers and everything with it. I was
nice.
Like, and he was telling me that he's doing charters in the canals and catching snook and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, well, what are you using? I think he's tossing shrimp up there. All Storm Twitch.
No kidding.
All he's using is Storm Twitch sticks. So
perfect.
A lot of snook being caught up there, some sand bream. Anything else that really stands out?
No.
Okay. Elder Bean Pier, sponsored by Action Appliance. Make them your first stop. And I can't tell you if... Every time I need an appliance, I don't care what it is, I go to Action Appliance first. Because if they don't have it, they know where to get it. They can tell you, okay, well, you can get this and this and this, then go here and get that. And they're just awesome folks. I really enjoy them. They do the repairs on all our stuff at the house. So, good folks. Elder Bean Pier, what's going on?
They've been picking up a couple more trout. Still not any numbers, but the quality has gone up just a bit. The night fishing for the snook is definitely perked up just a hair. I'm hearing of a few more legal fish being caught off of there. There has been still the juvenile tarpon in the mornings and in the evenings over there. And that's all pretty much accessible by the boat.
What are they hitting the snook on at night there?
Swim baits mostly. A couple guys have been coming in here and buying some of the select shrimp, and we've even gotten in a few hand picks lately. So they've been picking them up on those. One guy did really good on pinfish last weekend out there. So they're kind of hitting just a barrage of stuff right now. Now that the rivers are flowing much, much slower.
Yeah, you almost got stuck on that one. Now that the rivers are flowing, okay, yeah. That was the wrong word. Now that the rivers are slowing down, yeah. Is I think what you meant to say.
Yeah, exactly.
That's okay. Tongues get twisted.
Once in a while.
Sphincters get puckered.
You know, things happen. So, it is starting to pick up.
Oh, yeah. That's about the story of my week. Every time I start looking at something and I'm beginning to see the horizon, it's like twisted around. So now I'm looking back at the sphincter again.
I thought you were going to get the light at the end of the tunnel and realize it was a train.
Yeah, well. Yeah, that's, I guess, probably fairly accurate. All right. But the good thing is, you know, I've got Chuck Coates from Carpentry, Don Riggs. I've got so many good friends that are so good at their jobs that, you know, I'm getting through it. Some advice, some help, you know, all that kind of stuff. Myakka River area is sponsored by Jim Up Murdoch Tire and Automotive. And, yes, it is true. The ads are bought by people that I'm friends with. Yeah. So it's not a hard sell. You know, I go in and say, you want to buy an ad? They're like, okay, Frank.
Right.
Product tire. I mean, I'm there all the time with my vehicles and everybody else's vehicles.
Only guy to trust.
I still find it hilarious. He found 4 squirrels in Carl's truck. Yeah. Only Captain Carl would. He's got sensor lights going off, and he takes it to a mechanic. You got 15 sensors that are bad, and this and that. And the next thing I say, you got to go to Jim. He finally goes to Jim, and Jim says, I don't think this is a sensor issue. And he's got his computer out looking at it, flips the hood up, finds chew marks on the wires. All these wires are chewed through. Then finds 4 squirrels in the tire well.
Yeah.
I mean, 4 squirrels? I never asked Jim what he did with the squirrels.
I have no idea. He relocated them probably across the street in the lot.
Yeah, well, it's a massive amount of woods around there. They'd be happy little squirrels.
Absolutely.
So, I just can't picture that. You go to there, you find 4 squirrels in the car. Okay. So anyway, what's going on in the Myakka River area? I can tell you in the Myakka Cutoff.
I can only visualize that. What was that movie? National Lampoon's Christmas, and the squirrel comes out of the tree. That'd be one of those guys working on that car and have one of them squirrels come out.
I just can't picture it. You know, you're going around, you hear, look, shine a flashlight in there. You got 4 little sets of eyeballs staring at you, you know. I heck.
Squirrels don't scare me, but I promise you, I'd probably jump.
If they all come charging out, yeah, I guess.
I'd probably still jump, just coming across the eyeballs. Oh. just that, like, what's that? That's not good. Something's looking back at me.
Right. So anyway, you got Murdoch Tire is sponsoring the Myakka River. I can tell you in the cutoff, there's possible oversized redfish.
Only possible? Are you sure?
Lots of smaller redfish. Because Terry caught the one. Yes, I know. And I still argue, if I caught 4 undersized redfish and she caught 1 oversized and 1 undersized, we should be at least close to even.
If you were in an inches tournament, maybe.
No, she would have still beat me because she had, her one was like a little over 27 and the other one was 16. And I had a 16 and a 14 and another probably 16. I didn't even measure them. They were all small. But so no matter how I spin this, I still can't win.
Yeah, I was trying to help you out. And you just,
so I messed
just,
myself
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
Sheephead.
Kill that one.
There's a lot of sheephead in there. And mangrove snappers. A lot of mangrove snappers.
Yeah, a lot of mangrove snappers, without a doubt. And those sheephead that are in there, I think, are resident fish, though, because I'm not hearing of any consistent reports out on the beaches. Just starting to get a few trickled-in reports on offshore. So
they were all 10, 12 inches. I would say 10 inches-ish.
Okay.
So I don't know if they were actually, one was legal size or not. But what was funny is we were throwing select size shrimp. Terry was throwing selects, and we had a couple of larger ones for her benefits of, you know, she owns the store. So, you know, she gets some of the bigger ones that she wants. But I was throwing the smaller ones, the choice size, and I was catching fish after fish. Snapper, sheephead, little redfish, snapper, sheephead, little redfish. And she only caught the redfish and the sheephead and one little red. So she got 3 fish. I probably caught 6, 8, or 10 in the same amount of time. But I was using the little shrimp because every time I put the big one on, they just steal parts of it.
Right.
Just bigger is not always better.
No, definitely not. Definitely not, especially for varieties of fish. I mean, it's one thing if you're targeting a specific animal, but
Well, she wasn't interested in catching little ones. She was just after the big ones. But after that one big redfish, we never got another big one.
No.
So South Gulf Canal, what's going on there?
Kind of the same thing still as last week. The guys are still getting a few tilapia in the Mayan cichlids, you know, because there's been some guys trying to actually target them. And then I did get the guy called me this week. He caught some more snook. He caught actually a couple legal snook trolling through there on his way out.
You know what he's trolling?
A twitch stick and our X-Wrap 10. He says he mixes the colors up on the X-Wraps because he's got three or four colors that he just really likes in those. So basically two suspending baits. One's just a hair bigger than the other. The X-Wrap 10 is probably about, what, an inch longer than the twitch stick, give or take. So
yeah,
having those two different sizes, but he's having a ball. He did hook one little tarpon back there.
What were the tilapia and Mayans caught on?
The guys, they actually bought shiners too because they were going to go bass fishing after that, but they bought the worms for the tilapia and the cichlids. They've been fishing those back there pretty heavy for the last 3 weeks now and doing fair. I haven't heard how they did on this trip the other day, but they've been having a good time back there.
What about the tarpon?
The one guy just jumped one while he was doing the trolling for the snook. He didn't see any fish rolling. He just happened to put one in the air, so he was excited about it because it was his first one that he hooked in several months.
Okay. Isn't it funny how... God, what a find on that twitch stick.
Oh, my gosh. I mean...
I just had a guy come in today. He was looking for a fire tiger lure because he's up on the Peace River, and they've been hitting the fire tiger color patterns. I said, try this one. I'll probably outfish him. Is the storm twitch stick in the fire tiger pattern. And right. He's going to try it and let me know how it happened. He's been using some of the Rapalas in the fire tiger, and he's doing okay on the snook there. It wasn't enough to say, yeah, the snook are hitting up there, but I'm hoping when I talk to him again next time, we'll have a better idea of where and, you know, how good the fishing is up there. So West Wall and the creeks. This is sponsored by Luigi's. Go in and ask for the Luigi's special sub. Don't get it if they don't have the in-store made bread.
Yeah, the special bread for
it. Yeah, because it comes with bread they make there at Luigi's. So sometimes if you're there, like we were eating late at night and they just didn't have it, it's still a good sub, but it just lacks that...
That pop.
That pop.
Still very good, but that pop puts it right over the top of way better than normal.
Yeah, it's that, you know, bread makes a sandwich.
Absolutely. And
Luigi's makes that bread right there in their own ovens. And so when you get that steak sub, the Luigi's special steak sub, that's with their own bread. Because you had it the other night with the bread, and you were like, okay, it's a sub, but it wasn't the Luigi's special.
Right. Exactly. It was good, just eh. Yeah, it didn't have the pop.
But, you know, I think when your mouth is expecting one thing, and even when you get something that's still good, but it's just not what you expected, that's...
Right.
Isn't it a weird ad?
Had good mood lighting.
Yeah. Light going on and off the whole time we were out there. Okay, so anyway, we love Luigi's. Our buddies, we do the fishing club there. Let's see. What's going on in the West Wall?
Oh, a lot of different stuff over there, actually. The snook are moving all over along that west wall, working their way up kind of towards the rivers and the canals. So guys are seeing a lot of them, catching quite a few of them. Most of them are small. You know, those bigger legal fish didn't get big being dumb, so you always hear about more little ones and big ones. They are also getting into some redfish over there, but they're very far and few between. And then on top of the bar, there's still been some pompano. A couple of flounder I heard about this week that were mixed in with those pompano, and mostly small trout. It seems to produce or get better as you get further south for more numbers of fish in general, but the whole west wall is starting to really turn on pretty good. And guys are mostly throwing shrimp in those little pompano jigs for the most part.
Okay. Let's see. Let's go around to Cape Hayes. To me, Cape Hayes is where the action starts. This is sponsored by Finor. And Finor Lethal Reels. amazing. It's a very good, sturdy project. I'm fishing a Finor combo, the lethal combo.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice.
Yeah.
You know, I took the ready-made combo. I want to see what some of these combos are like. So I've got a Finor combo on the boat, and I was using it. It's pretty good.
The rod feels nice on it. I just haven't casted it, but feeling it in here with the weights on it, it's not bad.
It casts good and all that. It's probably not the rod I would choose. I'm not thrilled with the rod. I like it.
It's not a fast taper rod or anything like that.
Right. Well, I'm so used to certain specifics. I picked all 6 to 12 stuff. I wanted lighter action. Going into wintertime, I didn't want to get any heavy action stuff.
Right.
But I've got that and some other ones, and I'll talk about them as we get to them. But I like the combo, and I think you would enjoy that rod. It's not exactly to my taste, but after fishing with you all these years on and off, I think that's a combo that you would really love. It's got that Robert action to it.
The funny part is, though, in the last couple of years, I've gotten to like yours better. the faster tip on it, and just a little bit lighter action overall. I'm starting to learn to like those more.
It's got a very good live bait action.
Right.
You know what I mean? The rod and reel together, they feel great together, very well balanced. It's got good all around. The tip's not quite what I like to fish with,
right.
But I'm keeping it on the boat for a while. I'm going to be fishing that. I've got the battle combo on the boat, the Passion, I think.
Okay.
The new pink one.
Mm-hmm.
That's a nice setup because the rod is so different than the battle.
Yeah, it's completely different. That whole reel seat and handle on it just makes it feel different in the hand, but even the action seems like it's a little different.
And I can tell you, I barely got to fish with it. Terry grabbed that thing up right away. Yeah, that was what the redfish was caught on and all that kind of stuff.
Nice.
But I think most guys would like that Finor combo, the way it feels, because most guys like that little that tip. And I like that super light tip. So,
right.
You know, I think most people would really enjoy that Finor combo. Cape Hayes Muddy Bay, we got a lot of pompano around there. We're tons of flounder out on the bar. The flounder seem to be more out on the sandbar.
Out more in the open areas.
And then, then again, there's... Oh, geez, come on, fingers. There is quite a few back behind the bar, but out in the middle. They're not up against land. They're not up against the sandbar. They're kind of between them.
Gotcha. I'm also hearing some bonnet heads over there. And then more small trout than big trout. The only couple big trout I've heard about being caught over there were caught on small pinfish. The guys that are throwing shrimp tend to be picking up more of the smaller trout. And then a couple guys that are throwing the pinners have been catching the bigger trout. Just much less numbers. Water temperature warming back up the way it is. Those trout got excited for a very small window there. And now they're back down to eh. But we kind of expect that with this up and down roller coaster ride of weather that we usually tend to get in late October and November. It'll start to get better. I'm predicting more or less middle to the end of December, like it has the last 2 years.
Now, Bull Bay and Turtle Bay, sponsored by Penn. And if you're going into the holiday season, this is the way I'm going to tell you to do it. If you're in Port Charlotte, Punta Gorda, or whatever, and you need reels for family in Pennsylvania or New York or Minnesota, go on the internet somewhere, buy them, take advantage of the free shipping. But if you're going to be giving gifts locally or getting one for yourself, we do Amazon price match on all Penn reels. So you come in, we'll go on the internet, we'll look it up on Amazon, boom, right there it is, Amazon price match. Like Battles were 72 something the other day, and that's your price, whatever it is. I've seen them go from 72 to 90 something within the same day.
Yeah.
So when you walk in, it doesn't matter what you see at home, when you come in the store, we will go on the internet for you, and we will find the price there on Amazon. For any Penn reel, we give you Amazon price match. Now, I'm fishing. I took that pink pen, and I took the Conflict
combo.
Now,
How does that rod feel on that combo?
Man, I was not thrilled with the reel. I thought, eh, combo is wow.
Yeah?
Oh, no, I mean, wow. That is a sweet combination. I don't think it's worth buying the reel. I think you should buy that combo. That combo is awesome.
Really?
It casts like a dream. It feels great. I think it's like $200 for the whole combo or something like that. But stellar, staggering, nice. I mean, I've only fished it one day, but still, man, did I like that rod. Oh, and it's a combination. I didn't want to buy the reels and put the rods that I would use to them.
Right.
You know what I mean?
This is the pre-mounted, what it comes with, combo.
Yeah, pre-mounted combo. Great balance, nice action. Thrilled all the way around with it. 100% nice. Thrilled. Changed my whole attitude towards the new Conflict 2 reel. I really was not sold on it at all. I couldn't understand why anybody would want to buy it. You buy a Clash. The Clash is what it's supposed to be.
Right.
But if you're looking for a combo, buy it off the rack, that Clash. Now, I'm using the 6-12 version, the light one. I have not fished the heavier ones yet.
Which is the, that's a 25, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a 2500.
Okay.
A 6-12. Absolutely in love with it. Definitely want it to stay on my boat. I will let you know as we go along how long it lasts. But for regular pen reels, for yourself, or gifts for other people, come in, we'll Amazon price match. We'll Amazon price match the combos as well. But usually they're actually a little more than us. So, but yeah, that new Conflict 2 combo. Wow. I just fished it the first time the other day.
That'll work. Said,
in my pre-mounted combo thing, just find out what's going on. Bull bait, turtle bait. Huge amount of fish outside the bars, or outside of the base, just in front.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, redfish, snook, pompano, flounder, been a few cobia cruising along it. I mean, guys are seeing a lot of fish, guys are catching a lot of fish. You know, that's by far the most happening thing as far as that area goes for a variety. Because once you move inside, you start to narrow down a few of those species with, you know, less population. Still a few flounder and pompano inside, but all the good numbers of those guys are on the outside. The only exception to that is the trout. The trout are doing a little bit better, I think, as far as bigger trout on the inside and turtle and bull with the guys who are patient enough to use the pinfish. The shrimp, they're catching a lot of the small trout inside, but throw a bigger soft plastic or a pinfish, definitely picking up a few more bigger trout in there.
Okay. All right. I've been doing so good trying to concentrate on typing the word the. I keep typing H-T-E, which means I got to go backspace and correct it. Cape Hayes Reef, sponsored by the guy who literally gave me my house back. I don't know what I would have done without Chuck. So whether you need a pirate ship built in your side yard or... the problem that I had is the contractor messed up all the areas around the windows. And we had to pull the trim off the windows and put new trim on. And now it's amazing. I mean, literally, what a difference on the house. And there's no way for the water to get in anymore. And and then all the wood rot and termites he found because of shoddy workmanship. That would have never, ever happened if... I would have, if, you know, the contractor had not messed up my house. There's no way that would have happened. But I thank God he's got it. We're all fixed. And, I mean, it's beautiful. So, thank God for Chuck and Chuck's Custom Carpentry. All right.
Nice.
it's, yeah, all I can say is, wow, what a relief. I mean, it's not inexpensive.
No.
I'm not, you don't call Chuck if you want a great deal on something. You want Chuck if you want it done right. And that's what I wanted. Because I got a great deal on the house. And look what it's costing me later.
Right.
Spend the money, get somebody to do it right. Because why do it twice? Why have somebody come out and fix it? And then in a couple of years, you got to have somebody come out and fix what they did.
Oh, and then some sometimes.
And, oh, yeah. Look at what your neighbor did. messed around with somebody cheap because, oh, I don't want to pay that much, and it ended up costing him three times the amount.
Absolutely, and I still don't think it's done right. I watched what some of the stuff they did, and it's like, yeah, I feel bad for them.
No, I am.
I'm just glad it's not mine.
I have to live in this house. I want everything done right. I don't want to pay too much, but you're going to pay for somebody to do a good job. That's all there is to it. And
well, and he's good, and he's fair.
He's fair. He's not cheap, but he's fair.
Right. And it's going to be done right without any questions.
Mm-hmm.
And he won't do it haphazardly, even if you want him to.
Nope.
He's not some guys cutting corners. He'll just walk away. Some guys say, well, this is how I want it done. Well, no. If that's not right and safe, he's not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I love about him.
Sorry we're taking up too much time with these ads, guys. But, you know, every once in a while, you just feel real good about the people you work with, the people you deal with. And that's what's happening is I have been literally so frustrated, and everything was going wrong, and to have people like Chuck and Don Riggs and Jim at Murdoch Tire, and you know, just the list goes on to the people you see on these ads, I'm actually, my blood pressure's way back down to where it's supposed to be, and I'm breathing a sigh of relief. I have less money than I had before, but I no longer have the problems, and I have to live there.
Right.
I don't want a bunch of garbage. So, anyway, K-Pays Reef, and I don't know what's going on out there. I got no reports.
There's been a couple Spanish mackerel being caught off of there. Heard of one cobia and a couple of pompano that were caught over there this past week. You know, it's still a little slow, but guys are starting to stop and check it out and starting to pick up a few more fish there.
Any sharks over there?
I have not heard of any, to be honest with you. Most of the guys are spending just a short period of time in each spot moving to the next
one. Now, are the Goliath moving out at this time of year, moving around?
They're moving back in this time of year.
They're coming back in to do the spawn this time.
No, they're done spawning. So that's why they're starting.
So they're coming back.
Yep.
So I'm going to say there should be some nice Goliath there pretty soon.
I would say so. Over the next month, we'll definitely start to see some good ones on there.
All right. Gasparilla Sound and the Tailing Flat, sponsored by Radio Waterline. Robert was on there this morning. He is one of the hosts. And it's Robert, Captain Mike Myers, and Josh Olive. Do we call him Captain Josh Olive now?
He doesn't have the title yet.
Oh, he doesn't have the ticket yet. Okay.
Yeah. Until he gets that piece of paper in his hand, I don't think they should get it.
No.
You know? They work hard for it, but still, once you have that piece of paper, now you're official.
It's actually like looks like a passport now. Yeah, I miss my certificates. Yeah. Mine used to say officer, merchant marine. You know, I was a merchant marine officer, and you know, with my older license and all that. And now it just says, you know, master captain. You know. But it's not as cool. I've still got them up somewhere. I got to find them again. But the whole certificate looking thing.
All right.
But the problem is they wanted you to carry it on your boat.
That's silly.
Which, okay, that was cool. If
water.
Yeah, and I'm on a flats boat. I'm not on a tanker, you know, where I have a compartment in a room.
Right.
You know.
With a dehumidifier and air conditioner.
Yeah. So, anyway, Radio Waterline at 92.9 FM. Every Saturday morning from 7 to 9 o'clock, you can listen to those guys expand and expound upon fishing. Expunge their views about fishing, even. So on 92.9 FM, or click the Radio Waterline logo on the fishing report, and you can listen to their back episodes. In case you missed it, sometime this afternoon, Josh will be loading today's show up there, so every Saturday night you can catch up on a show if you missed it in the morning. What's going on in Gasparilla Sound, Tailing Flats?
A lot of different things going on in there. It's kind of the same thing as out in front of Bull and Turtle. There's a lot of snook and redfish, pompano and flounder moving around throughout that whole basin from Devilfish all the way up to basically the Placida Trestle. And then along the creeks there going into Whidden Creek and Catfish Creek, start to see more snook, more redfish. The redfish are still scattered in there. You're going to work hard at them, but there are a few fish in there. Speaking of that, did you see that snook that Carl caught down there yesterday? Did you happen to see that picture by chance? He caught a snook with not just a broken lateral line, but it's actually a figure eight.
What, a dolphin hit it or something?
No, his lateral line just developed that way.
Really?
It's really, really, really cool to see.
Well, I can tell you, that is the weirdest looking snook line I've ever seen.
Right.
It looks like a pair of sunglasses.
Yeah, it's a trip.
So, Bert, you think it's really... Sorry.
Wow, that cut Bert, three ways, long, deep, and hard. Jeez.
anyway, but that's weird. I've never seen the lateral line on a snook look like that.
No.
Literally, it comes from behind the head and then looks like the rim of a pair of sunglasses. It
right.
goes into two loops and figure eight-ish, but to me it looks way more like a set of eyes or sunglasses.
Yeah, and but a figure eight's just an easy way to describe it, but they're definitely
but I mean,
glasses
black lateral line, top, bottom, equal, and then it goes back to a heavier black line. But, I mean, I've never actually seen that before. That is weird mutation, you know, derangement right. of the fish.
Yeah, I've seen them, like, where one's starting to form almost where it kind of makes a little fork right behind the gills and comes about 2 inches but just totally disappears and then has a normal lateral line. That one's fully connected in two different spots.
Yeah, I've never seen that happen before. And so that's kind of cool.
That's yeah.
actually very cool.
Pretty neat stuff.
All right. Get my stuff together here. It's going to take us up to the Placida Trussell. And Placida Trussell, this is sponsored by Ingman Marine. They have locations in Port Charlotte, Sarasota, Placida, Pine Island, and North Fort Myers. And we have a store. We lease the inside of the building from Ingman Marine in North Fort Myers. And that's where Fish and Franks 2 is, in North Fort Myers. So if you happen to be stopping by, it is kind of sort of like a boutique, but it does have the heart and soul of a real tackle store. So, you know, don't be surprised when you go in. It is very pretty. But that's in the Ingman Marine Boat Dealership. And Ingman Marine is having a Grady White Day. I'm sure it's Grady White. I hope it's Grady White. Hey, Andrew. And... this starting this Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at Fisherman's Village, you can get a test ride on these boats. If
yeah.
you go down to Fisherman's Village, Ingman Marine will be there. They'll take you out for a test ride, let you check out the boats. It's a very cool thing that's happening right at Fisherman's Village in Punta Gorda this weekend. So, you know, and this would be a great time. Next weekend, next weekend. Today is a weekend, I forget, but next weekend. And hopefully it's a little choppy out, because every boat in the world I've ever been on pretty much runs good on flat, calm water.
Yeah.
But it's when it's rough out, when the wind's blowing 10, 15 miles an hour and it's sloppy out there, you get out, that's when you find out what a boat is about.
Yes.
I mean, so anyway, Ingman Marine, give them a call, check out their show down at Fisherman's Village, and they'll also be with us down in Fort Myers at the Fort Myers Boat Show.
Yeah, that'll be a good time.
So what's going on at Placida Pier and the Trussell?
Placida Trussell, I've only had two reports this week, but they weren't too bad.
Okay.
Some Spanish mackerel, a guy caught a black tip also. There's been some snook there at night, a couple of oversized redfish at night, and the mangrove snapper, and then they're starting to see some sheep's head moving around those pilings, but no good numbers or sizes yet. So, you know, the activity's picking up, and a lot of guys are seeing flounder, you know, kind of drifting by in the evenings and at night that are snook fishing, but I haven't heard of anyone catching them, which that's always puzzled me, because that's the only place where I have ever seen a flounder swimming high in the water column. I see them out in the surf all the time, you know, over the years. That's the only place I have ever seen them, like, drift by or swim by, you know, a foot under the surface. I've only seen it a couple times, but that's the place where I saw it. So it's kind of weird. I don't understand what the significance of that whole area is that would cause them to swim like that.
No idea. Honestly, you know, after 30-some years, I still keep getting surprised and stumped by some of the stuff going on. Let's see. You know, it's really funny. The spelling gets better for last week as I... Oh, God, what the hell did that just do? idea what that was about. Scary, scary stuff. Opened up a whole new program on me.
No bueno.
No bueno. It's not uncommon. Yeah, back.
As long as it's still there, we're all good.
Yeah, I'm hoping this is the correct one because, let's see. Yeah, I have no idea why that did that. It's going to be really scary. Hoping this all works out right. All right, anyway, let's see. That really freaked me out. Computers. Yeah. We were just talking to a computer guy this morning and getting to know Burton from that new Castnet company.
Barracuda.
Barracuda Castnets, yeah. Okay, this is Lemon Bay Area up there, sponsored by Southern Cross Storm Shutters and Equipment, and nice folks to deal with.
Unfortunately, the only one report I got was a guy was just drifting along there just north of the Placida boat ramp. And what is that? That no wake zone area. He was just drifting along the edges of the docks on the mainland side, catching trout. He didn't really mess around a whole lot. He's mainly out there testing his boat out. It was running a little rough, so he's kind of playing around and tinkering. Figured while he was out there, he'd fish a little bit, especially if he got stranded.
Yeah.
No, smart idea.
Yeah, it is. There is, I've had a couple reports of some decent redfish, and most of it's been north of the bridge on the western side. It's really shallow over in there in some of the spots.
So on the island side?
Yeah, on the island side, okay. On the flats out there.
Okay.
And it was kind of weird report, but they did pretty good. They caught, I think 4 or 5 redfish, and then they lost them, but they had a pretty good time with 4 or 5 redfish they caught. They were all slot fish. So.
Oh, okay. There you go. That's not too bad of a report. Yeah, unfortunately, it's been quiet for up there. My Lemon Bay guys didn't come in that are always fishing up there by the conservancy, so.
Right. Okay, that's going to take us to the Englewood Pier, the Anger Pier. I won't even do my joke. All right, Custom Sight and Sound sponsors this. Great folks, home theaters, a lot of stuff you need, TVs, home theaters, whatever. Give them a holler. They're up in Venice, and super nice folks. Buddy of mine, Julio, owns it. We've been friends for, 25 years or something. Good guy. So anyway, Custom Sight and Sound is sponsoring the Anger Pier next to the Tom Adams Bridge. Any reports?
Mostly all I've heard about, honestly, is the snook at night. They've been getting some legal fish and a whole lot of little fish, along with some fairly good-sized ladyfish as bycatch. Other than that, I haven't had anyone day fishing that I've spoken with. Last weekend when we went out there, we drove by it, but there was honestly too many cars. I couldn't pull in just to take a walk out on it and try to chat with anybody. And that was right at sunset, so I don't know if they were day fishermen or getting ready to snook fish. I'm not sure. Looks like they're doing a little bit of construction around there because they had a little front end, little tiny like bobcat front end loader right there.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're working on the seawall like they are on the island side or not.
I don't know. I had some guy asking me about when they're going to open one of the piers, and unfortunately, I didn't even know if it was closed. Personal life has been just a little chaotic lately, so I haven't been able to keep up on a lot of the fishing reports. I've been going fishing at least once a week and trying to talk to as many people as possible, but it's still hard when I'm not in the store every day.
Right.
It was funny. Somebody said I wasn't at work, so they didn't think I'd be at the fishing club. They said, oh, no, Frank's, he's got a bunch of stuff he's doing at the house, so he won't be around tonight. And they're like, well, no, it's during the day. It's dark out by the time,
right.
I'm done hauling rock and tearing out railroad ties and pounding nails by the time the fishing club. It's a great way to go and escape for the night.
Right. Get away from the reality.
Yeah. That's a place to leave reality. We don't go there. We're not making any money on it. It's just a great event just to relax and have some fun for the evening. So this is going to take us out into the Gulf of Mexico. I'm going to work very hard today on getting our hard bottom page up. May or may not happen, but I'm going to be working on it today. This is sponsored by American Fishing Wire, AFW, or High Seas. That's I use the High Sea Leader a lot. I actually went out and I've been playing with the Yozuri Pink and the High Seas. I like them both pretty well, but I did better in the Myakka Cutoff on the High Seas than I did on the Pink. Now, up at the Sanssouci Trestle, I was actually doing pretty good on the Pink. But I was 50-50 on the Pink and Clear Leader. Right. But in the Myakka Cutoff, I actually did not do anything on the Pink Leader. I switched both my rods. I'm fishing different leaders, different stuff everywhere I go, testing product while I'm fishing. And the High Seas was the most consistent. I did a little better on the Pink Leader up at the Sanssouci Trestle, but did not do any good with it in the Myakka Cutoff. So, you know, thank God I had both of them on the boat.
Right.
But the High Seas was the most consistent hits I got. And Terry caught all her fish on the High Seas Leader. So
yeah, that's pretty much the only one I use.
Yeah, but I'm just trying to be fair, you know.
Yeah, no, I get it. And I play with the Yozuri a little bit. I actually have two of them. The only thing I like on the Yozuri so far, I like the 20-pound when I go down really light for the trout. And the only reason why, I can tie it a little bit easier because it's a little softer than the 20-pound High Seas. I have a harder time getting that knot to cinch down on that smaller stuff than I do on the 30-pound.
Gotcha.
I kept having it slip on me, so I just experimented. That was the only time I've liked it. I can't see anything else for it.
But I'm going to say I definitely want the High Seas leader on the boat with me. And now in Robert's case, as he gets down to lighter ones, he's going to the Yozuri, which is pretty good too. Now, the one thing I'm going to be putting on the boat here in another month or two, maybe even this month if the mackerel start showing up, I don't know when they're going to show up, or with the reports we're getting as possible, is that knotable steel.
Yeah, that stuff's so incredible.
Yeah. I'm going to keep that on the boat just because you never know when you run into something toothy.
Yeah,
so exactly. And I can just tie it onto my line the same way I would my monoleader or fluorocarbon leader. And so rather than having to have pre-made stuff there, I got a spool that I'm putting in the boat. So, but great products, AFW and High Seas. What's going on in the Gulf of Mexico?
A lot of different stuff. Basically, from the passes to 15 miles out, the Kings and Spanish are still around. Kind of look for the bait or just look for birds. You know, they're in little clusters out there. I'm not hearing great reports of the really big Kings, but I am hearing reports of, you know, 15 to 20 pounders. And Trembly Reef, Novak Reef, Power Pole Reef, all those are starting to hold those fish. But you know what's cool is this week I've had a lot of reports of amberjack of assorted sizes, literally from 10 pounds to 60 pounds.
Now, where is that at?
Palm Island Ferry, Power Pole Reef, and the school bus. You know, so the AJ's moved in closer. And it wasn't just an isolated incident. Several different people telling me about them. And then, you know, of course, Morris goes out with his family, friends, or whatever. Right. Four blackfin tuna.
Where is that?
40 feet of water. And a couple other guys have caught one or two blackfin tuna in 50, 55 feet of water. And it was actually, you know, Morris told me about the blackfin tuna, but Josh heard about the blackfin tuna about Morris from Van Hubbard. Van Hubbard saw him out there catching them. Gotcha. And told Josh about it. So getting a lot of good reports on that.
What's the bottom fishing like?
The grouper's been pretty lousy until you get out about 30 miles. The snapper and grunts and, you know, lanes and mangroves, you know, 50, 55 feet seems to be the good number for those better fish. You know, the grouper, no real decent things. Weather's been beautiful. A lot of people going out there, though. Now we got some wind kicking up, so it's going to slow it down a little bit.
Yeah. All right. The passes. And this isn't actually sponsored, just an advertisement for our show on 97.5 FM. And it's the Fish and Frank show with me and Robert. It's all about getting ready for the weekend. If you're out and about and you can manage it, go to kdwradio.com or just click the link here and do the listen now button. We're live 1 to 2 p.m. on Thursdays, and by 3 o'clock it's the recorded version is up here on Radio Fishing. So if you miss our live show, you can always catch it here on the website. But 97.5 FM, it's broadcast out of Northport. It's Real Community Radio, and it's a nonprofit group. So if you like what you hear, and it's the weirdest radio station I've ever been around. You literally click in every half hour to see if you like one of the shows. Because if you don't like that one, wait till the next half hour. Could be completely different. One's right. They got a psychic to like Ouija board talk show. They got a Republican talk show. They've got our fishing show. They got jazz radio, country.
Because they do music oldies. And talk.
I mean, it would be impossible to figure what you were going to listen to. I mean, it's the same stuff in those same spots. But if you're new to the station, don't click on it and go, oh, I don't like this. Because wait a half hour, it's going to change.
Yeah, it does a 180 every time.
Yeah, it's amazing. I love the station. Really, really enjoy working with the people up there. WKDW Radio out of Northport, 97.5 FM. All right. Let's see. I guess I could take that part off. 2 p.m. Thursday's live. All right. Thursday? Good God. All right. So, anyway, this is all about the passes. What's going on in the passes?
Passes are doing pretty good. You know, in particular, Boca Grande and Captiva Pass are the two primary ones I've been hearing about still. Spanish mackerel, a few king mackerel, flounder have been on the outer edges of both passes, especially Boca Grande Pass. They're on the north end of the channel. A few guys have been catching a couple sheep's head while snapper fishing in that little bit deeper water while they're drifting.
All right.
And then I'm hearing of a lot of short gags. For some reason, this whole week, everyone keeps calling them black grouper. I mean, I've had at least a half a dozen people coming in telling me they're catching black grouper out there in the passes, and every picture they pull out to show me, they're all gags. I mean, I get that it's a confusing one, but it's just kind of weird the way it goes in spurts like that.
Well, you know, the truth of the matter is we have to replace about 20% of our clientele a year here at the store. People move back up north, they get a job, they move away, some people pass away, get sick, whatever. There's constantly we have to renew about 20% of our clientele a year, because that's the part that changed. We have about, I would say, 40% of our clients that have been here since the store is open and keep coming back all the time, and then we've got shifting newbies that have been back and forth, and older customers who are still around. But you go through a lot of new customers here every year, a lot of new customers, thank goodness, and we make new friends all the time.
Absolutely.
But teaching them the difference between a gag grouper and a black grouper and a Goliath grouper and a red grouper,
yeah,
you know, and every few years you're teaching a whole new spectrum of people. You know, in 2 years, that's almost half the people in the store are cycled through to new people because of, you know, unforeseen circumstances. And even like down here, you learn if guys fish together, if one of them gets sick or hurt or moves away, the other one may or may not go.
Right.
So it just a lot.
Yeah, it's just weird the way it was all this 1 week, because you're used to hearing it a couple times here and there, but it's like this week was one of those condensed versions of it, you know?
Yeah, but I still go along with there's so many people that you have to, you know, that we're teaching all the time, helping with their fishing, and I think that's why it happens.
Yeah.
Because if you notice, it's about every 3 years or so, and that's when, you know, and these fish cycle up. You get, you know, 3 year spans, you know, where you get 1 year it's not so good, then okay, and then you have that banner year. Yeah. And we're in a banner year for the small gags. They've been on and off all year in that pass. Yeah. And I think that's why.
Yeah, it could be very well.
You know, you forget how many people come and go.
Yeah.
Because people retire, they come down to Florida, but then as they get a little bit older, they get that point they want to move back up north by their kids.
Yeah.
So people retire here and then at a certain point actually move back up north to be by the kids and grandkids and stuff. They, you know. Yeah. So anyway, walking the beaches from Sanibel down to Venice. Anything you can fish for standing on land casting out into the Gulf?
Yeah, honestly, the only one spot I heard about this week is Boca Grande. Okay. The whole island, I heard reports from 19th Street all the way down to the pass. Guys are catching pompano, flounder, still some snook out there. The jacks have been moving in and out, along with some Spanish mackerel moving in and out as that bait gets pushed in closer to shore and then zips right back out. And have heard of a couple bonnet heads. Weird part is I didn't get any reports north or south of there. You know, nothing. Yeah.
Reports are reports.
I know.
Okay, that takes us down to Sanibel, Ponarasa, and this is sponsoring the Fort Myers Boat Show. If you're going to attend a boat show this year, this is the one to go to. This is the big one. It's where everything happens. It's between both bridges. Pretty much goes bridge to bridge, downtown Fort Myers. There's thousands of boats. Dave said, I don't know if I'm going to go. It's too big. I can't, you know. And if you're interested in boats, you want to see some different boats, it's a great place to go to see the variety of vessels, because from the very small to the liveaboards, they're there. It is the Mac Daddy big one. We will be there every day with seminars, fishing seminars, every hour on the hour. And that's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this next week. Next weekend we'll be there. We're going to try and get the fishing report in after the Friday so that we can we'll have it up for you on the weekend. If you're going to be listening to WKDW radio, there will be a pre-recorded show on that because we won't be there live this week. So, the boat show this coming week, Fort Myers, big deal. What's going on in Sanibel?
Sanibel, the only report I got was right there at Ponarasa at the docks and right just north of the docks. There's been some nice trout on the outer edges of the docks and north of them on those flats. Guys are catching those, same thing on pinfish or some of the jerk baits. Mm-hmm. And then there's been a couple of nice snook underneath the docks have kind of moved in. Other than that, nothing around the bridge or the causeway, any of that stuff. So.
Okay, and that's going to take us down to the Coosatchie River in Fort Myers. And this is sponsored by Fish and Franks 2 at 14531 North Cleveland Avenue in North Fort Myers, and that is about 3 blocks south of Pine Island Road right there in Cleveland, same road that we're on here. You take a right out of Fish and Franks, go 20 minutes and you're right there. And it's kind of sort of like a boutique because it is really pretty, but it does have the heart and soul of a real tackle store, and that is in the Ingman Marine Boat Dealership right there in North Fort Myers. So go in and check it out. We lease the inside of the building there, and there's freshwater tackle, saltwater tackle, everything you need. I have only heard of some trout by the Cape Coral Bridge and at the mouth of the river where it meets Ponarasa.
Gotcha. Well, that's a lot more than I've gotten, because everything I've gotten is the water still dumping out of, you know, they're trying to drain Okeechobee, essentially. So nothing I've heard of in the usual haunts up in the upper part of the river yet.
Yeah, I'm got to get my little boat fixed, and then I'm going to run down there. I want to fish, because this is just starting the time of year. I really like the snook fish down there on the Coosatchie, and I want to get back down there and do it. I've got a couple really good snook spots. I'll let you know how they pan out. Matt Lachey,
honestly, I haven't heard anything at all this week on it. I know Carl went down there, but I forgot what he told me.
Yeah.
So...
Alright, Pine Island Sound, sponsored by Reaper Rods. Literally, if you're throwing lures, you should own a Reaper. Because the only complaint I've ever had about the Reaper is they wanted to buy a second one.
Yeah.
And if you're throwing lures, and you like throwing a 2,500, 3,000 size reel, anything from 3,000 size or down, that light thing, they do cast better, they do work better, they do their job. They really help you. It's the difference between buying a non-name brand tool. You know, if you're a construction worker, you know what it's like to have a good set of wrenches or a good hammer versus some cheap thing, you know.
Yeah.
And they make the difference. You know, I'm not really sure I'd justify the price for if I was just throwing a shrimp or a white bait out there. I mean, they do cast better and all that, but if I'm throwing lures all day, love my Reaper.
Yep.
Love my Reaper.
Plus, they're built locally.
Yeah, they're made right here in Punta Gorda. American components assembled right here in Punta Gorda. So, I mean, if they can do it and sell for that, why isn't Penn doing that or Shimano or... I guess Shimano's not a U.S. company, so... But, you know, you wonder why these other people aren't doing it. I mean, Tim can do it.
Yeah. So.
All right, so what's going on in Pine Island Sound?
A lot of trout. I'm hearing a lot of good-sized trout down there. Mostly around Captiva Rocks and just north of the fish shacks. And then a lot of Spanish mackerel as you get out closer to the ICW there. And then there's also been some snook and redfish around just a lot of the interior islands going up towards, you know, getting closer to Pine Island itself. I don't know the names of all the different keys down there, but good numbers of more snook than redfish, but there are definitely some redfish down there. Water has started to clear up a lot, so guys are starting to use a little bit of their eyes to try to find some of their fish underneath those bushes down there.
It's fun to sight fish. And Pine Island Sound, because you have Boca Grande at the top of Pine Island, you've got Captiva down a little ways, then you've got redfish three-quarters of the way down there, and Ponarasa at the bottom of there is one of the first big flats to get clear.
Yeah.
The water will clear up there quicker because the water is very close to the passes there. Now, Matt Lachey takes a lot longer to clear up, and up in the harbor takes quite a bit longer. But there are so many passes. You know, you've got one at the top, one at the bottom, and two in the middle of, you know, right, on the west side of it. One at north, one at south, and two on the west side. So you get a lot more water movement there, and that's one of the reasons that Pine Island Sound clears up so good. But a lot of oyster beds, a lot of things to be careful of. So if you're going to go down there, idle a lot until you know where you're going.
Yeah.
And don't worry about where somebody else is running because, you know, who knows if they know where they're going and they could run you on an oyster bar. But two, you'll learn more. If you idle and watch in the water as much as where you're going, you're going to see the stuff, you're going to see the fish, you're going to find the holes. And you're going to get very, very good at it. Running around only allows you to run around. Going slow allows you to learn. Jug Creek and Boquilla, sponsored by JT Custom Pools. And that's Jason Tari, good friend. Makes a good product. He also does pool maintenance. So give him a call if you need something with your pool. Jug Creek Shoals, Boquilla, what do we got?
Honestly, the only thing I've heard about right there around the Boquilla area has been some trout and a few Spanish mackerel. Other than that, it's been quiet from what I haven't heard, basically. And the same thing with the trout. The trout's still there. Again, the bigger trout being caught on the pinfish and the littler trout being caught on soft plastics and shrimp.
All right. This is being sponsored, Burnt Store in Two Pines by Shimano. I still can't remember the name of that reel. I'm waiting for one. I ordered one for myself. It's that new one they're coming out with.
Oh, yeah.
I forget what it is.
Ah.
Anyway, yeah. Whatever it is, it seems very interesting.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, I can't remember. I guess I'll get it and go, oh, that's what it was.
Yeah.
But I thought it was pretty cool. It's a little on the pricey side, but not bad.
Yeah. Two Pines. Two Pines definitely is where it's better at. Seems like from as you get further south of Burnt Store, a lot more snook, handful of redfish. Mostly smaller redfish, and then there's been quite a few pompano moving along down there on the along the flats and on the outside edge of the bar. And then I'm hearing of several flounder being caught as accidental bycatch while jigging along for those pompano. Puffer fish moved in there really bad, so a lot of guys have been coming in here and giving us job security buying soft plastics lately because of getting beat up pretty bad down in there. But They are definitely catching some little bit better fish. Most of the snook have been on the smaller side, but they are seeing a lot of bigger fish. And kind of like the west wall, they are starting to move up a little bit, but still a little slow going as you get further north towards the Burnt Store there.
Okay, it takes us over to the east side. This is sponsored by Okuma. And what? All of a sudden, I know what it is. She closed the door and the fan's blowing against the door. That's where all that noise came from.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I was trying to think, where did we hear that? There it is. See?
Yeah, no, that was kind
of
weird.
Yeah, all of a sudden I heard, no, you can leave it on just with the door closed. Like, it all of a sudden it sounded like a hurricane in here. Okay, east side, Okuma. I'm trying to decide. I want to take an Okuma combo with me. I'm thinking, do I take that Samar combo, or do I get one of the other ones? I'm thinking about trying the Samar combo.
I would
just
try
the
Samar because I'm curious to know how well it's going to hold up to some of the abuse factor.
Yeah, so I haven't decided which Okuma was, but I think that's the one I was thinking of.
It's a nice moderate price one because it's, what, $99 for the combo, I think?
Yeah, something like that. I'm hoping it's a little less than that.
I think it might be less than that.
I'm hoping it's in that $70, $80 range, but
I don't know. I can't remember off the top of my head. For some reason, $99 is sticking in my head.
Which would be weird because the reel's only $50.
Right. But so somebody actually put a nice rod with the combo rather than a cheap rod with a good reel? Be
so
kind of a
maybe
nice
that's
concept.
It. So I'm going to take that Samar combo. I'm going to put that on the boat this weekend. I'll fish it, see what happens.
I mean, I love how it feels. I mean, it's a super nice, lightweight, fairly smooth reel. I'd be curious to know longevity-wise.
So, all right, I'm going to put that on the boat, and we'll see where that goes with that.
There you go.
So, and we'll let you know. I'll let you know next week because I am going to go fishing Sunday. No matter what, I'm going on Sunday, whether it's morning, evening, somewhere. I'm going to go out and throw a rod every Sunday. So what's going on the east side?
A lot of snook moving around. They're on the interior islands, the exterior islands, a little bit on the flats, but mostly around the islands. Majority of them are small. Some guys are kicking up some pompano, not too many people catching them. And they've also started to see a few cobia cruising along on top of the bar, on the outside edge of the bar. I've had several guys see some big tarpon sitting on the outside edge of the bar. And then also the bonnet heads have been moving on and off the flat right down there by Pirate Harbor. There we go. Brain just went zzz. So, it's picking up fair down there. You know, there's just been so much boat traffic running around. I think some of the guys have been struggling a little more than the others because they're trying to stay out of the wind. You know, this past week we had more guys move around other areas. So I think that's why we got better reports.
Well, if I go out this week, or when I go out tomorrow, Sunday, I'm probably going out in front of Bull and Turtle Bay, depending on the wind. If it's blowing really hard, I might go in the tippy canoe because I was fishing a cutoff last Sunday. So it depends on the wind. If the wind's blowing really hard, or it could go down to Two Pines. I didn't think about that. That's going to be on the safe side.
Yeah,
it could go to Two Pines, too.
Yeah.
So one of those three spots. I'm either going to be in Tippy Canoe Bay, Two Pines, or if the wind is allowable, I'm going to go across to Turtle Bay, Bull Bay, because I hear there's so many fish outside there.
Right.
Thinking if I could make it the other side of the bar in the wind, because I don't have a choice. I leave from the house coming down.
Right.
So I'm coming down the Peace River going across. If it's not too bad, I might try and get out there because I hear there's so many fish out there. I'd really like to see about getting into that. All right. That's going to take us down to Alligator Creek. And this is sponsored by Acline HR for all your payroll, human resources, workman's comp, and all that. That's who I use. Very, very satisfied customer of Acline HR. So what's going on in Alligator Creek? Skating rink anywhere around?
The only report I've gotten has been inside Burnt Store aisles there. The guy, he's been catching some nice mangrove snapper closer to the little lock / opening. And then a lot of tarpon rolling around in there and a few black drum. And the black drum have been assorted sizes, he was telling me. He's catching 20 inches all the way up to about 15 to 20 pounds. He's seeing some of those big 30-pounders and 40-pounders, but hasn't caught any of them yet. Other than that, I haven't heard anything down the creek at all. Even the skating rink, you know, it's been a little too quiet over there.
I don't know if you get into the skating rink with this water as low as it is. That's some really skinny. We were watching a guy with a flats boat. I came up, looked at the bar, and said, no way. I'm anchoring up. When you got Alligator Creek, it kind of makes a curve going out where Punta Gorda comes, and the skating rink's back in there. But that sandbar is all these potholes and everything, and there's usually, you know, quite often I can catch some decent redfish or trout right there off that. I just anchored up outside the bar and was fishing a long cast up onto the bar and then out in front. I didn't do very good, but Austin had been catching some really big trout out there. Better luck than I had, but... you know, so there it goes. Ponce de Leon Park, which is sponsored by Shenango Supply. It's where I go for all my equipment, lawnmower, pressure washers, you name it, Shenango's got it. If I need real construction stuff, not just the homeowner thing, but you need that specialty part, I go to Shenango for it.
There you go.
And Shenango's done, I've been trading there as long as I've been in Florida, and very good friends, nice people. What's going on at Ponce de Leon Park?
The only thing I got report on is my first-hand report when I was there on Tuesday with the Game and Fish. Guys are catching mangrove snapper off of both finger docks and a lot of small snook. The one guy said that he did catch three or four flounder the day before, but hadn't caught any yet that day. So that's really about all I've heard about and seen. He didn't even see any jacks the last 4 or 5 days that he'd been fishing out there.
Still, snapper, snook, and possible flounder's pretty good.
Yeah.
PGI Canal, sponsored by Charlotte Harbor Construction, custom home builders. If you're thinking about moving to PGI and you want someone to build you a good house so you can make a good home, that's Charlotte Harbor Construction. What's going on back in PGI?
A lot of tarpon. Tarpon are just starting to really move all over the place back in there. Mangrove snapper have started to pick up a little bit. Guys are doing fairly well trolling on their way in and out, catching some small to even a few legal snook, and then some nice jacks in the 10 to 15 pound range. So they're getting some pretty good ones there. It's not too bad at all. And it's all those guys have all been trolling the twitch sticks. One guy likes to troll the traditional 14 bomber.
Yeah, I troll the I actually use the 15 AXS SIG, and that's my favorite PGI trolling lure, and I've caught a lot of fish with that. And it takes us over to Gilcrest Pier. Remember, Fish and Frank's Fishing Club, there's no dues, there's no fees, you just show up, have a good time. And nope, Jeff, please leave that open. Jeff, please don't listen. Please listen to me when I talk.
Yeah, straight ahead, Ida.
I don't know what's wrong with these guys. Okay, so anyway, Gilcrest Pier, the fishing club meets normally the second Tuesday and Wednesday of each week, unless something unforeseen happens. Like they say, no, we moved it because of the boat show. And I say, why did we move it because of the boat show? And they said, well, because we had the boat show. And I said, what difference does that make? It's not till 6:30 at night. No problem. So they kind of messed me up because no one told me they were moving it. So
I had no idea they were moving it.
Yeah, and I'm still wonderfully happy about that. So, but normally it's second consecutive Tuesday and Wednesday of each month. And it's free. You'd come down. We're going to talk about fishing and hopefully give you a little better information than what you had when you came in.
Good.
Gilcrest Pier.
Zero. Nothing, unfortunately.
Nothing. Okay. Alligator Creek Reef, which is sponsored by Grady over at the Allstate Insurance Group and Punta Gorda. Nice folks. I deal a lot with Grady. He does a lot of insurance for me at the home and the cars and all the rest of that stuff. And I can call there and talk to anybody. They're very helpful. And I call and they give me a real hard time, and it makes me feel like home, because I mean, you know, how's it going? And I come on, okay, I just got a phone with him yesterday or something, talking about some insurance stuff I'm dealing with, and they're very helpful. All right, so what's going on at the Alligator Creek Reef?
Well, there's been some cobia being caught out there. Most of them are short, but a handful of bigger fish. There has been some tarpon on it, and most of those are bigger tarpon. And then on the southern end, guys have been catching some Spanish mackerel on that incoming tide, along with a couple of mangrove snapper. There's not very many of them, but they seem to be a little bit better quality size-wise, you know, 12, 13-inch size. So, it's not too bad. Haven't heard of the sheep's head yet, but not surprising because it's still too warm.
Okay. The Deep Holes in the Harbor, sponsored by our buddies out at Seato. It's one of those things you buy hoping you never have to use it. But if you're around Charlotte Harbor, you should have Seato. They do an excellent job here in Charlotte Harbor. I would have to say the truth or full transparency, they are franchised, so not all Seato groups are created equal.
No.
But the one that we have here in this local area, they are the bomb.
Pretty great amazing. Folks.
So if you're from another area and you go, I don't know about Seato. No, each one is different. They are all franchised out, and this group is awesome. I really enjoy them. I was talking to somebody, and what brought that up was because they were from another area, and they said Seato was horrible. You know, and I said, wait a minute, these guys are awesome. And then you look into it, and different people own them in different areas, and some of them are really cheap. You know, they don't want to do anything, and they just want the money, and they don't want to do anything for it. And the guys here, they work their butts off for you.
Yeah, they do.
They do a great job. So I guess it's about the owners. So I can say without a doubt, locally around Charlotte Harbor, Seato's the bomb. So the Deep Holes in the Harbor, what are they sponsoring?
Some adult tarpon, some catfish, of course, and then there has been a few Spanish mackerel moving in and out. You know, mostly on the lower holes for all of that. And then I have heard of a couple guys seeing some cobia as they've been moving from one side to the other as far as fishing the east wall and the west wall. But I haven't heard of anyone catching anything out there yet as far as they go.
Okay. And that's going to take us down to the bait reports. Now, as far as white bait, the only place I've heard of is Placida.
Yeah, Placida, and then also right off the beaches, literally from 10 feet off the surf to a mile out. So, and those are mostly the scaled sardines. Some of them are the small thread fins mixed in with them, but mainly the typical greenbacks.
All right, thread fins?
Extinct. Species a special concern at the moment. I have not heard anything about thread fins.
Pinfish.
Pinfish. Usual haunt, the Jug Creek Shoal, out there in those deeper grass flats off of Boquilla, especially around those two little submerged islands. And then Devilfish. Got some fairly good numbers of them there, too.
Possibly just north of Pirate Harbor.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Salinity's coming up.
Okay, let's see. Ladyfish.
Ladyfish, basically south Two Pines in that area and inside Turtle Bay and Bull Bay. That's about it. Everywhere else has been a little tricky. Guys have been screaming saying they can't find them, but then you got the handful of guys that are just right into them and can't get rid of them.
What else are we talking about for bait wise? Let's see, ladyfish. Any small mullet you've heard of this year?
No, not at all. Unfortunately, that red tide the last couple of years, plus the regular fishing of them.
Pinfish.
It's just nothing like it used to be with those guys.
Yeah. All right. I guess that's really about all there is for bait wise. Okay, that takes us out to the freshwater stuff. On the freshwater is sponsored by Certain Water Services. And this is Bill Certain's place. They got plumbing and they got the water stuff. They can put filters in. They can do reverse osmosis. They can help you. And one thing you want to do, you think maybe I need them, maybe I don't, and you have a water softener, go out and take top off your water softener and look into it. And if you're disgusted, call Certain Water Services. That's the best way I can tell you, folks. If you pull the head off your water softener and you're a little disgusted, like, wow, call Certain Water Services. we met Bill trying to keep our shiners alive, and he is one of the most informed and willing to learn, because I argued with him quite a bit, and we went back and forth on some stuff, but he found the right answers, got us the right stuff, and our shiners live great now, because keeping bait alive in tap water is a real trick. Thanks to Certain Water, all good. I had them do systems at my house. I'm very happy. Before, I would hear chlorine smells sometimes, chemical smells, while I'm taking a shower. And then sometimes it would have that musky smell, like moldy musky. And none of that anymore. It's just water, and the coffee is phenomenal. I'm so used to drinking the coffee at the house. I have a coffee maker here, and I use nothing but that water. When I go somewhere and I get coffee and I can taste that city water taste to it, I'm like, oh man, you know,
people think water is water, but
no,
you know, because people make fun of, oh, you're a water snob, you won't drink that water, you won't drink this brand water. There's definitely,
I don't like bottled water, because when we put bottled water in her teapot, and you know, you just put water in and it boils, you can see the stuff in that water. You can see the stuff floating in it after, you know, you do a couple bottles with it. Mm-hmm. My water systems at the house that Certain put in, it's clear. No matter how many times you refill that, there's just water in it. Try that with bottled water. I dare you.
No, I get it.
I'm
just saying, it's just
bottled
funny.
Water sucks. I refill little bottles out of our stuff here. I don't want bottled water. That's nasty. People think it's good. No, it's nasty. I'm telling you straight up. All right. Let's see. Freshwater. What's going on freshwater? Sorry about that, folks. I was a little involved on that, but, I mean, true. Bottled water's nasty. What's going on freshwater?
Honestly, the bass have been doing really good. The little 2 to 5 pounders. A lot of guys talking about those. Most of the guys are catching them on shiners. You know, we've been pretty busy with the shiner activity for the bass, and snook fishermen taking them too, for that matter. The crappie minnows slowed down just a little bit, but the worms took back off with the night crawlers and the wigglers for the guys fishing for the bluegill. The tilapia are still cooperating and feeding on the worms pretty regularly, especially in Rotunda. And then the Mayan cichlids still over there in Gulf Cove, so getting a good mixed bag of stuff. The only thing that slowed down is the crappie, just because that water temperature came back up. We're coming off of that full moon from last week, so that's kind of normal. You get that first little wave of them, slows down, and then this next full moon at the end of November, early December, that's when they start to become a little bit more consistent. You know, they start to stay in their spawning schools in little more numbers. And, you know, still going to try the minnows on them, but I like to throw the little beetle spin if I can. I get frustrated with it sometimes because, I don't know, I have a hard time.
What have you heard the bass besides shiners? Are they hitting anything?
We've been selling a hodgepodge of stuff. Some guys are buying frogs, worms, a couple spinner baits have sold, a couple of the little rattle traps and the Strike King, the little lipped Strike King, I can't remember the name of it. Just kind of a mixed mash of stuff. I think guys are, those fish are in that weird point, warm water, cold water, full moon, so they're chewing on
a
variety of stuff.
Are still doing as well? The kind of combination, they're not really bugs, they're not really worms, but the creature baits.
Yeah, they're still buying those pretty consistently. Just this week's been a hodgepodge, more than one or two consistent baits, or colors for that matter.
Really? What's going on with the colors?
They're buying a variety. I mean, they're not just buying the typical June bug or tequila. They're experimenting a little bit. And gotcha. I think it's just because there's so many different fish hitting that they're just having fun trying to pattern them or just learn something new.
All right. As far as the tarpon reports go, what's going on tarpon?
Unfortunately, you got all the juvenile tarpon inside the PGI canals and some in the Port Charlotte canals. The Port Charlotte canals are hopscotched everywhere, not just Spring Lake. And then the bigger tarpon, the only two places I'm hearing about big tarpon where I would actually try fishing for them at would be Alligator Creek Reef through the Pirate Harbor hole, and then also out by Boca Grande Pass. You know, mixed reports of the ones in the pass. The pass seems to be like 60 to 150 pounders, but the ones that are inside the harbor that guys are finding are 100 to 150 pound fish. And most of them are all being caught on ladyfish or bait busters.
Now, where was that?
Alligator Creek Reef in Pearl Harbor.
Gotcha.
Pearl Harbor Hole, I should say.
Right. What are you using for those big tarpon out there?
Ladyfish and bait busters. That's the only two things I've been hearing guys catch them on. Rick's been averaging 1 to 3 fish a day. We saw several fish out there by the reef when we were out there fishing with the FWC the other day. And then a couple other customers have been hooking them while drifting out there with the ladyfish and the bait busters over the Pirate Harbor hole. And then the guys that have been fishing down there in the past that have actually been drifting along have been catching a few on shrimp and pinfish while looking for a mangrove snapper or grouper. And then a couple guys have hooked them on the depth specific, you know, like the Rapala 30s and 25s out there trolling for the king mackerel and Spanish mackerel. So they're kind of hitting a variety of stuff out there in the past. Nobody's really targeting them in the past that I've heard of, just all incidental bycatch. If it were me going out there, I'd probably be dropping down really big shrimp and pinfish and trying to vertical fish as much as possible, live bait rig, but definitely doing a controlled drift with the motor and trying to stay on top of the fish as long as possible. And that could last about another month, depending on our weather patterns. The foreseeable future still says it's going to be semi-warm with these little mild cold fronts until this mid to end of December from what I looked at the long-range stuff.
It's supposed to be like this all weeks. You know, basically 60s in the night and 80s during the day.
There we go.
And that kind of wraps up what we're doing for as far as the fishing report here. Don't know what else to say.
I got one more thing to say. Next week might be a little bit slow with the fishing report because of the boat show. We're going to try to get to it, but
it
depends on how
the
schedule works out and everything.
Yeah, it depends how it goes.
And then the other thing I'd like to say is thanks to all of our veterans for making this country safe. You know,
today is Veterans Day. I thought people were just really happy with their animal doctors, Vets Day. You know? No, I mean, it's not about animal doctors, it's about military folk.
Absolutely.
It makes more sense. I couldn't figure out why everybody was having such a big deal about Medical Day for animal doctors.
Well, it usually doesn't happen on a Saturday. They usually make it on a Monday, so it even makes it more confusing.
Yeah, everything gets confusing. Let's see, that's the Fisher Report, and we do, I think I just loaded that, okay? As always, you know, if you're listening to this and you want to know where we're talking about, just go to the place-by-place report. We have lots of maps on there. You click the names of places, it'll take you to pages I made about them, or at least it'll zoom it in on Google for you, one or the other. Trying to do the best we can to keep up on all that. You can listen to us live on WKDW Radio in Northport if you're around the area, or you can just click on kdwradio.com and click the Listen Now button, 1 to 2 o'clock on Thursday afternoons. Get ready for the weekend, and we hope you like WKDW as well. I can't think of anything else. What's
next weekend, if you're bored, come down to the boat show.
Oh, yes. Hooray, the boat show's here again.
Lots of great seminars and just lots of boats to look at.
Tim from Reaper Rod's going to be down there with us. We've got Steve from the shirt company.
Rapid Graphics?
Yeah, but what's their shirts?
Real Hobby.
Real Hobby shirts. They're going to be there. You're going to get some good deals on the Real Hobby shirts. We're going to be doing Amazon price match on Akuma and Pen reels while we're down there. A lot of cool stuff to come on. Pen guys are going to be down there a day or two. Akuma's going to come down for a day or two. We've got
a lot of different special reps.
The Barracuda guys down there from the new cast nets. They're talking about trying to get somebody down there. And we're hoping it's going to be a lot of fun either way. It always is. It's a great show.
Absolutely.
A lot of fun. So outside of that, I guess we'll cut you loose. Any last words? Something else I forgot?
Not that I can think of.
Oh, there it is. That's what starts this madness, and that's what ends this madness. So, an hour and 39 minutes ago, we started this show, and by God, you're all done with it now. We wanted to say thank you guys for listening. We hope you enjoy our new show on WKDW. It's the one marked with their logos. And thanks for listening, boys and girls. We'll see you at the Fort Myers Boat Show next week. Bye. Say goodbye, Robert.
Goodbye, Robert.
Scared to death. She snuck out in that cotton dress. Jumped on in and we drove to the lake. Put her hand on my knee and said, I can't wait. I had everything we needed in the bed of my truck. Turns out my baby loves to
fishy, fishy.